psalm for this evening is Psalm 25, a psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word to us. Let's pray. Oh, our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word reveals to us the heart of God. We thank you that in Jesus Christ in particular we see what God is like. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus says. And Jesus reveals to us what his compassion, his love. Oh, our Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, as we come to look at this psalm, so much in it, but that you would warm our hearts. Warm our hearts to fear you in order that we might walk before you as you would have us walk. Give us understanding by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Friends have a powerful impact upon us, don't they? Whether for good or for ill. Isn't that right? We know that, don't we? Indeed, many parents have known a good child to go astray simply after falling in with the wrong crowd. So that's precisely why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, tells us bad company corrupts good character. That's why in Proverbs 13, verse 20, we read, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 1, verse 1, explains to us that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So friends, well, they have a powerful influence, don't they? They have a powerful impact upon us. Of course, friendship with God is the very best and the most influential friendship of all. However, can we truly be friends with the eternal, creator, holy and righteous God? Can we? Is it really a legitimate thing for me to suggest to you? Is it? Well, yes, it is. And yes, we can. Consider, for example, Abraham. In Isaiah 41, verse 8, we read of God saying this: "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend." Amazing. In other words, God looks upon Abraham as his friend. That is truly staggering, isn't it? Indeed, James, in his letter in the New Testament, he confirms the reality of this. In James 2, verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." Again, that is amazing, isn't it? Now, just in case you think that Abraham was simply a special case, and that his friendship with God is not also for us too, as believers in Jesus Christ today, well, look at what James goes on to say, just a little bit further on in James 4, verses 4 to 10. For what James is doing within these later verses, well, he's contrasting, isn't he, friendship with the world with friendship with God. James 4, verse 4, "Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Verse 8, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." It's the same idea, isn't it? Of course, friendship with God can never, ever be friendship between equals. Of course it can't. That's a silly thought, isn't it? God is God. And we're merely his creatures, saved by his free grace alone. But nevertheless, friendship with God can still be, just like Abraham's friendship with God, a genuine experience for us. And it's exactly this reality of friendship with God which David so eloquently speaks of in Psalm 25. You see, in a sense, verse 14 of this psalm is key to understanding it. Look at verse 14. This is a remarkable verse, Psalm 25, verse 14. It's a pivotal verse, so to speak. In fact, it's actually a very odd verse too. It's a curious verse. Why do I say that? Well, it brings together two things, doesn't it? Fear and friendship, which we don't often put together, do we? So verse 14 says this: "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." And this psalm is all about those two things: fear of God and friendship with God. Fear and friendship. Now, I've already stated that we don't normally bring those two things together, fear and friendship. But the truth is, that is the amazing reality of our God, isn't it? Dale Ralph Davis, an American Old Testament Hebrew scholar and author, who's always worth a read, Dale Ralph Davis tells us that the Old Testament consistently describes God in two ways: that he is fearfully holy, and that he is wonderfully delightful. Fearfully holy and wonderfully delightful. It's good, isn't it? And it's right. God is fearfully holy, And God is wonderfully delightful. God is both of those things. Both of those two things at the same time. But even more, that's exactly the truth which this psalm declares to us. So let's look at how it does that. There's much, much in this psalm. We can't cover everything there. But let's just focus on how it describes to us fear of God and friendship with God. Firstly then, God is a God to fear. Now this is seen specifically in verses 1 to 10. So what does it mean for us to fear God? Peel brought this out very helpfully, didn't he, on Sunday morning. But let's look to see how this psalm describes that same idea of fear God, fear of God, how to fear God. Well, many things it shows us. First of all, notice verses 1 to 3. In these verses, we see that fear of God means to actively trust in him. We fear God by trusting in him. Verse 1, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, O my God, in you I trust. The fear of the Lord also means seeking from God direction and instruction and guidance for our lives, looking to him to guide us in our lives. Verse 4, make me to know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth and teach me. It's the fear of the Lord, to look to him for direction in life. In verses 6 and 7, we discover another aspect of fear towards God, looking to him alone for mercy. Verse 6, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. Verse 7, according to your steadfast love, remember me. You see? Fear of God also means humility in our attitude towards him. Humility. Verse 9, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. To fear the Lord is to be humble before him, to acknowledge his greatness and our weakness. Verse 10 gives yet another vital aspect of our fear towards God. Fear of God means living obediently before him. In our lives, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now we could spend much, much profitable time on all those different aspects of fear towards God. But let me mention just one more, which I haven't already mentioned. It's quite remarkable. This is seen at the end of verse 5. But also at the beginning of verse 15. Might cause Philip a little bit of difficulty if he wants to get both verses on the screen at the same time, but there you go. The end of verse 5. Well, what does David write? Verse 5. For you I wait all the day long. And then in verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. You see, to fear God means to maintain our focus upon him. It's so easy for us, isn't it? So easy for us to think about God on Sundays or at the prayer meeting like tonight or during some special meeting or when things are going wrong. But do we think of God, as David does, all the day long? How amazing. Do we always keep our eyes upon him? That's the measure, isn't it, of true fear towards God. Knowing that we're always in his presence, always accountable to him, always dependent upon him, always to love him and to serve him. In fact, fear of God is the very opposite of sin, isn't it? If you think about it, what's sin? Well, it's more than just lying or cheating or stealing. Ultimately, sin is ignoring God and living for ourselves. In effect, it's saying to God, I'll decide how to live my life. Now, that's sin. It's rebellion against God by not fearing him, trusting in him, looking to him, relying upon him, waiting upon him all the day long. That is sin. It's rebellion against God by not having our eyes ever toward him. It's rebellion against God by not hoping in him all the day long. No, we must always maintain our focus upon God. Fear to fear him. Secondly, finally, this psalm also speaks amazingly of friendship with God. This can be seen particularly within the second half of this psalm in verses 10 through to 20. So what does God's friendship mean for us? What does it mean? That we know God's steadfast love and faithfulness towards us. That's what it means. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. It also means that we know pardon for all our sins by God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. Our sins have been dealt with. We've been reconciled to God. We can know God. We are friends with God. Verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Friendship with God also means that we know certainty for the future. Verses 12 to 14, him will the Lord instruct in the way that the Lord should choose. God chooses our path, the way we should go. Friendship with the Lord also means that we know his care and his deliverance within our lives, day by day. Verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet from out of the net or from out of the snare. Friendship with God also means that we know the comfort and the grace of his continual companionship. Verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. And it also means that his salvation is all embracing. It's everything to us. With Jesus Christ, we have everything. Without him, we have nothing. Verse 20, oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. You see, to know God as our friend is a truly wonderful thing, isn't it? It's an amazing, it's a totally undeserved and utterly mind-blowing privilege. It really is. We do not deserve it. But God graciously gives it to us, his companionship, his friendship. Of course, it's only possible, isn't it, because Jesus Christ, God's Son, has died for our sins. And indeed, the opposite of this wonderful privilege is to go through life without God on our side. The opposite is frighteningly horrific, isn't it? We know that, it truly is. However, though you may know, in theory, because you're a sinner saved by God's grace alone, though you may know in theory that God is your friend, do you also know it in your experience? Do you? For David, in this psalm, David is speaking, isn't he, of his experience of God's friendship. Not just the theory, the experience. It's an experience reality. David knows experientially God's faithfulness and steadfast love, God's care and companionship. David knows it in his experience, doesn't he? So do you long for that? You should. We all should. We should all long to say with David of old, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Amen. Well, let's come to God in prayer in response to that amazing psalm. So much more in that psalm we could bring out, but just those two thoughts of fear and friendship. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. I will lead in prayer and then the clock will start and we have 3 minutes to pray at home ourselves. Let's pray. Oh, our gracious God, how we thank you that you are indeed fearfully holy, but also wonderfully delightful. We know that in our own hearts and lives, for we no longer fear you as a judge, but we do fear you. We are in awe of you. We stand speechless before you when we consider your greatness and your love and your mercy to us in Christ. Indeed, it is your mercy and grace which is what glorifies your name. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are greater than our ways. That is, Lord, speaking of your grace to us in Christ. We stand amazed when we consider all you have done for us in him. Though you are truly a God of justice, God to be feared, yet as Isaiah says, judgment is your strange work. But you, O God, delight to show mercy. We thank you that you are a God who delights to show mercy. We thank you that we have experienced that mercy in our own lives. And so we fear you. But we also know you as our friend, undeserved, but true. Pray, O our God, that we would know that, not just in our minds, but in our hearts, that you would warm our thoughts towards you, and so motivate us to live for you in this world. And we pray this in the name of our Saviour. Amen.